ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। This morning we're reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 6, entitled The Killing of the Demon Putana, text number 10. Tasmin,
Tasmin
stanam,
stanam
durjara,
viryam,
ulbanam,
varankam,
adaya,
shishor,
दादाव
अथ
गाधम कराभ्याम भगवान प्रपीद्य तत् प्राणाय समम रोष समन्वित अपिबत् तस्मिन् स्तनं दुर्जरवीर्यम् उल्बनम् तस्मिन् स्तनं दुर्जरवीर्यम् उल्बनम् गौरान् कमादाय शिशोददावः गौरान् कमादाय शिशोर् ददावत। गादम् कराभ्यम् भगवान् प्रपीद्यतत् गादम् कराभ्यम् भगवान् प्रपीद्यतत् प्राणाय समम् रोष समान्वितो बिभत् प्राणाय समम् रोष समान्वितो बिभत् तस्मिन् स्तनं दुर्जरवीर्यमुल्बणम् वरान् कमादाय शिशोर्ददावत। गादम् कराभ्यम् भगवान् प्रपीद्यतत् प्राणाय समम् रोष समान्वितो पिबत् तस्मिन्
इन्
दट् वेरि स्पाट् स्तनम् द ब्रेस्ट् दुर्जरवीर्यम् a very powerful weapon mixed with poison. Ulbanam, which was fierce. Gora, the most ferocious putana. Ankam, on her lap. Adaya, placing. Shishoho.
In the mouth of the child.
Dadao. Pushed. Atha.
Thereupon.
Gadham.
Very hard.
Karabhyam.
With both hands.
Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Prapitya.
Giving her great pain.
Tatpranayi.
Her life.
Samam.
Along with.
Rosha Samanvitaha.
Being very angry with her.
Apibat.
Sucked the breast.
Translation.
On that very spot, the fiercely dangerous Rakshasi took Krishna on her lap and pushed her breast into his mouth. The nipple of her breast was smeared with a dangerous, immediately effective poison. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, becoming very angry with her, took hold of her breast, squeezed it very hard with both hands, and sucked out both the poison and her life, responsibly, with feeling. Please repeat. On that very spot, the fiercely dangerous Rakshasi
took Krishna on her lap
and pushed her breast into his mouth.
The nipple of her breast
was smeared with a dangerous,
immediately effective poison.
But the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna,
becoming very angry with her,
took hold of her breast,
squeezed it very hard with both hands,
and sucked out both the poison and her life.
Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna was not angry with Putana for his own sake. Rather, he was angry because the Rakshasi had killed so many small children in Brajabhumi. Therefore, he decided that she should be punished by having to forfeit her life. So, this reminds me of tradition that was extant even a century ago, and maybe going on today, you can't tell. But politicians would take young girls and inject poison into them when they were very young. Little. And little, 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 as the child grew. By the time she reached maidenhood, by the time she was a young woman, her body was filled with so much poison that if you in any way partook of any of her fluids, it would immediately kill you. This they called visha kanya. Sort of means poisonous daughter or daughter of poison. So the politicians would send such beautiful women to their enemies And after some time of association, there would be kissing and end of enemy. So Putana was one such visha, pishachi. And she knew the art of poisoning someone with a very dangerous poison, immediately effective. Sometimes you see there are poisons like snakes, the samba snake. It's a little short black snake, not very long. But if you get bit by that snake, you're dead within about, I don't know, 20 seconds or a minute or something. Very quick. You haven't got, you got just time to say one more round and you haven't finished your rounds. So there are such immediately effective poisons. But actually Putana, interesting, she represents the bogus guru, the false guru, in two ways. She represents the false guru who leads his disciples into sense gratification or encourages them to aspire after liberation, not a pure person at all. And also, she represents the guru from within the heart who leads one on the path of empiricism. Empiricism is the great enemy of theism. Empiricism means that we understand things by our senses. And we know that Krishna cannot be understood by the senses. He is adhoksaja. So the empiricists, they very much dislike any concept of transcendentalism which puts the absolute truth out of their grasp, out of their reach. In that song, in the translation or introduction to Chintamani, Prabhupada explains that the absolute truth is beyond our witnessing or experiencing jurisdiction. You know, like a police officer, he has a certain neighborhood or group of neighborhoods, that's his jurisdiction. Or a salesperson has a certain area of town, that's his jurisdiction. So anything beyond his jurisdiction, just like someone may be selling or someone may be policing in a very poor area where there are many troubled people. And that's what he has experience of, and he can't understand what it's like to be a police officer in a very wealthy neighborhood where there are all aristocratic people. It's beyond his experiencing jurisdiction. So the absolute truth cannot be perceived simply by extending the senses. So Putana, she was sent by Kansa. It is actually Kansa who is the demon. And interestingly enough, Kansa is an avowed atheist, but he is assisted by established or organized religion, because organized religion is religion by the book, by the dictionary. Organized religion, as it is defined, of course, it's always good to be organized. We're not saying we should go around disorganized. We can't preach if we're not organized. But what we're talking about when we say organized religion is a group of people who want material sense gratification, but they support their endeavors for sense gratification by co-opting religion, by defining and taking over religion, because transcendentalism leads us away from mundane life. The true path encourages us to austerity, tapo dibhyam, putrakayena sattam, shudyad, brahmasokyam tvanantam. Happiness, unlimited happiness, but it begins with austerity, controlling the senses, controlling the mind, shamo dhamma, tapa, socham. These are all different kinds of austerities, equanimity of mind, cleanliness, inside and out, withdrawing the senses from their perennial activities in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. What we have today in our modern civilization is the result of a society preoccupied with exploiting and expanding the activities of sense gratification. I recently read or saw something about a man who was a very highly educated person. I believe it was in economics or something. Anyway, he had been hired by many big corporations in America to inculcate the American standard of spending and living and economy. And he had, after some period of time, being a man of a little conscience, resigned. He had a conscience, and he saw that the American standard of economy and spending and borrowing, etc., did not at all work, and rather led to the pollution of the lives and environment of so many countries. So, therefore, he gave it up and began teaching. Oh, I know where it was. It was on this video that I have. Hare Krishna Today video. And part of the video is devoted to how many people in the world are going back to a simpler way of life, having become
experienced and disgusted with a slothful and
big consumption
way of life. So, therefore, there's a reaction now. And they're trying, but it is really up to the devotees of the Lord to give meaning, to give direction. All of these good ideas, whether they be vegetarianism or simple living or control of advertising, ethics in advertising, whatever it is. They're all good ideas, but they have no center. They have no theme. They're just tiny pieces of the large puzzle. So the devotees can give them meaning. And in fact, many world bodies, such as Worldwide Fund for Nature, the WWF, and many organizations who want to change the world, they have realized through genuine religious or spiritual organizations, they can get great mileage because they find a group of people who are dedicated by idealism. They're dedicated to ideals. And of course, the highest ideal is surrender to Krishna, to use everything in Krishna's service. What is that? Isavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagacham jagatena tyaktena bunjita magadakashasvitam. We should use everything, seeing it as the Lord's property. And with that consciousness, then you can begin to utilize material energy to benefit everyone equally. You can establish true non-sectarian religious principles. You can put empiricism or atheism where it belongs. It's just another religion. Atheism has no there's no proof. It is not science. It's interesting to note that science is not science. They have attacked and temporarily defeated the theists by claiming that that science means that which you can perceive with your senses, which you can taste, touch, smell, hear. But you can't. Everything is based on hypothesis. Some proofs are there, but the major proofs are missing. There's no proof for evolution, Darwinism. Darwinism. There's no proof for that. The missing links are still missing. Unless you go to a health food store in America, then you can get links. Anyway. And the theory of Big Bang, who was there to see it? Why don't they reproduce it again? Where's their proof? It's all just huge speculation and faith. Who's seen an atom? All just faith. So there are people who are fed up, and we can give them, we're not interested in any one organization, but we are interested in providing ammunition, or actually we're interested in providing direction. We can give them the right direction to go in, towards Krishna, towards God, towards the absolute truth. Any other attempt at trying to understand the relative truth, which is not connected with the absolute truth, it's doomed to failure. So, Putana was, it seems like she was killing a lot of children. Hard to say. For us, we're fairly well protected, but in South America, where we were in January, in Brazil, where there were oppressive regimes, where there were dictators, cruel dictators, there are many stories of children who went missing and later turned up dead. So it's not unheard of that children are abused and murdered. And actually what happened was the government did not like the fact that because of their economic policies there were so many poor children on the streets. So in order to create a different impression in the minds of foreign countries and in the minds of the people. In other words, if you go to India, you can immediately understand it's a poor country, because there are little beggar kids all over the roads. Wherever you go in any major city, and even in smaller towns, you find little beggar kids coming up and soliciting for food, you know. So that's a kind of blemish on the government. So in Brazil what they did was they rounded up the kids off the street and murdered them all. Then they can try to convince people that everything's going fine. But of course they were found out, and they weren't, just as is usual, like Pinochet, these demons had their way of sticking together. But when Krishna was here, he could do something about it. And anyone who follows in Krishna's line, just like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was Narasimha Guru. He did not tolerate nonsense. He attacked. And Srila Prabhupada was also a controversialist. He said, if you see ignorance and don't do something about it, then you become part of that ignorance. So we cannot tolerate ignorance. And we have to speak up, even at the risk of our own lives, at the risk of our own comfortable situation. Otherwise we'll be punished, as someone will stop the demons. Okay. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Neke knjižice prebral od raznih pisateljev, ki niso vajšave, ampak je govorijo o stvarih, ki so obrljeni.
Vse, ki je vzeli so books, from various writers, who are not exactly Vaishnavas, but more of people in religious goodness.
Wait.
I caught writers, books, material goodness. What was the question part of it?
Kako si pridobiti prijatelje, kako postati svoj bom usmer, kako dosegati cilje.
This book is talking about how to live healthy, how to find friends, how to communicate.
Self-help books.
Zanima me, ker sem ugotovil v teh knjigah, ki se to stvari ujema z vedskimi svetimi spisi.
I found out that a lot of things, concepts in these books, are close to Vedic concepts.
Are which?
Vedic.
Huh?
They're similar to Vedic concepts.
Oh, okay.
Potem sem motivil tudi to, da tudi osebe, ki niso brali te knjige, imajo sklonost k demokratiziranju teh spisov.
Also, I found out that also people who haven't read those books, they have a tendency to criticize.
Ker ena lažovitev je ta, ki pravi
scriptures, criticize these scriptures.
Ena lažovitev je ta, da je želite kritizirati vede in spise, ki se nekako ujemajo z vedami. Moje vprašanje je, tudi spise, ki se nekako ujemajo, a je to želivo kritizirati take spise?
So the one of the offenses in the holy name is to criticize Vedas and scriptures who are in its instructions with Vedas. For following Vedas. The same things.
Vprašanje je v bistvu kritiziranje takih spisov, ki se pri določenih temah ujemajo z temi šastrami. V bistvu je to želivo kritizirati takih spisov.
So is it offensive to criticize books?
Is it offensive?
To criticize? These kind of books.
These kind of books? Well, it's not offensive, it may be stupid, but not offensive. We're taught to get gold even from a filthy place. If one wants to preach, well, there's two things. First of all, if before you can become Krishna conscious, you first have to become a human being. And these books of wisdom can help some people regulate their lives and develop some qualities of decency so they can become human beings. But these books are all relative, and you will find there are bad ones, medium ones, and good ones. So we should not be too anxious to be reading many books. Now, I and some other devotees in the past have studied and taught devotees such literature. One series of books in particular includes 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Time Management, or First Things First, Principle-Centered Leadership, Leadership by Principles. But the author of these books is a devout Mormon or Christian, and he refers to the Bhagavad Gita and Mahatma Gandhi. So, although his books are, in one sense, speculative, but there are a lot of things that he says that have value in a relative way. I don't care how many books he writes, I wouldn't accept him as my spiritual guru. He also has written the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families. Well, despite our chanting Hare Krishna and reading about the pastimes of Putana, we seem to have trouble adjusting to Vedic family life. Maybe the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families can act like a bridge to bring us from our Western upbringing to a more civilized way of developing relationships within a family. But I also believe that if someone would take the time and research widely our own texts, that we could pull out the same points and make the same type of a presentation, but with a more Vedic context. But this is a very big job. Mr. Covey has spent a lot of money. He has invested practically his whole lifetime to come up with his 7 Habits books and institution. He does glorify God throughout his books. Or not really glorify as much as impress upon readers that true north, the principles of true north are given by God. He says that directly. Now, if someone wants to criticize him or his books or someone who teaches them, I would say, fine, show me a better example. All we're trying to do is find a balance between our material and spiritual lives so we can be happy and execute Krishna consciousness not just for a few years when we're young, but all the way to the end of our lives. That is going to require a lot of education in some very simple principles, especially in terms of how we relate to each other. For example, in this part of the world, you were scripted, very heavily scripted, in ideas about the only valuable service being book distribution. Now, we do know that Prabhupada was very pleased to see his books going out, but we also know that many senior book distributors are no longer active in devotional service. So something was missing. We know that 52% of the population are women. They had no voice in Krishna consciousness. And to this day, no one is prepared to listen much. Now this is changing. In America, it's a very big thing. In Western Europe, it's a very big thing. And in India, changes there, but also there a culture that has survived thousands and thousands of years, and most of us don't really understand Indian culture very well. Modern day Indian culture is quite bankrupt. It is a shell only of the past greatness. Everywhere you see slogans in India on the back of taxis, on the back of big trucks. Mera, mera means my. Mera Bharat. Bharat means India. Mera Bharat Mahan Hai. My India is great. And I try to correct them. Mera Bharat Mahan Tha. Actually, what you mean to say is, my India was great. It's not anymore. Today it's a great big mess. So anyway, we need education on conflict resolution, on empathic listening. We need education on building relationships by proactive activity. We need a lot of training, and it hasn't happened in this part of the world. You've had a lot of flamboyant charismatic kirtan preachers, and that's good, but there also has to be some education how to become civilized, and I hope that in the future you will get an opportunity to benefit from such type of training programs as are going on in the VIHE and other institutions, the MIHE, Mayapur Institute of Higher Education, Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education, etc. I have talked to one of my friends who was the co-founder of the VIHE. His name is Braja Bihari Das. Very learned man, very experienced devotee. He's a disciple of Buddhijan Prabhu, and he's an excellent facilitator and presenter, and he has a number of good courses that he teaches, and he all goes every year to Belgium. I've discussed with him the idea of coming to the Balkans or ex-Yugoslavia or Slovenia, Croatia. So he's ready to come, or at least he's considering it. But now I understand that there's a lot of politics that goes on at our summer camp down south there, and I'll see what I can do to get this type of training for devotees here, because I really think that we all need more and more of this kind of education. So someone can laugh and criticize. All we have to do is chant Hare Krishna. Well, I would say all you have to do is chant Hare Krishna purely and make sure everybody else chants Hare Krishna purely without committing offenses. Then everything will be fine. But if you just make an uneducated statement, all we have to do is chant Hare Krishna, well, I don't think there are a lot of people who are going to 15, 20, 30 year people chanting Hare Krishna. I don't think they're going to buy that very easily. Okay. Any other questions? Yeah.
You were saying about Putana representing the false guru. There are quite a number of people around who say that gurus from ISKCON are false or not bona fide, not on the high enough level. And
We would request them to stay away.
But
we wouldn't want them to be associated with false gurus.
But that they confuse devotees and take them away. But to practically, we see that they follow less and less.
Well, people are going to have to make up their minds. We will go on teaching and preaching from Prabhupada's books. What you're talking about is people who do not accept Srila Prabhupada as a bona fide guru.
Yeah, also that.
Mostly that. What can I say for those people? There's no doubt that one should not accept a Kali Chela one should not accept a pretender wherever you find him. So, buyer, beware. Who is going to buy, be careful what you buy. Find out what is the standard of a good product and buy only that from a reputable dealer. And even before buying, go over the product and look for defects so that once you pay your money, you're sure you've got a good product. We're not going to blow our own trumpets. We're followers of Srila Prabhupada. If someone thinks that we're not, let them... Well, what can I say? Let them set a better example. There are different varieties of, or different scenarios, different things that are going to happen. People will accept no teacher at all, theoretically. But they themselves will become their own teacher. They'll become a self-made guru, like that Indian author, forgot his name. What's his name? Don't read any books. No, no. No, 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 not Deepak Chopra. No, no, the much more famous one. Wrote so many books telling people not to read books. Krishnamurti. Prabhupada said, why do you write so many books? Telling people not to accept any authority. It's obvious, they just want to take the place. They want to, without being qualified, they want to establish themselves. And they have various ways of bluffing and various ways of avoiding the real issues. They call it double talking. Where's that term come from, double talking? Saying one thing and saying another thing at another time or something? No. Anyway, I'll look it up. That's a double talk because I was supposed to look so many things up. Then you have people who will accept someone from some other institution. Like, for example, some members of the Gaudiya Mutt. Now, if you examine, for example, Narayan Maharaj, he left his own guru, disobeyed him, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj, and he went to Radhakund and took mantra from some Babaji in Radhakund. Keshav Maharaj went to Radhakund, called him back, and then after Keshav Maharaj, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav left the world, again Narayan went back. And Bhakti Pragyan Keshav, while leaving, he appointed Vaman Maharaj to give an initiation within their institution. He said everyone else could be Siksha Gurus and even have their followers within their mutt, but Diksha was to be given by Vaman as long as he remained alive. Narayan Maharaj has angered many people in his own guru's mission. Bhakti Pragyan Keshav had a number of temples and properties, While leaving, he only established Narayan Maharaj as the president of Keshav Ji Gaudiya Math. That's all. He didn't give him regional secretary or GBC chairman or anything. So he has angered many people within his own spiritual master's institution by going against that direct order. And he was one of the first to blaspheme, I would say, criticize Prabhupada for initiating Westerners as brahmanas and for taking the name Prabhupada, for allowing himself to be called Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada. He was quite outspoken in his criticism. He never came to help Prabhupada when Prabhupada was in the West. And now, then he comes and claims that he was Prabhupada's sishya disciple. Then gradually he became Prabhupada's friend. And now he's teaching something that Prabhupada didn't teach. Gradually he increased his own stature. I mean, it's equivalent to my revealing to you all that I have got something higher than what Prabhupada could teach you. Because Narayan Maharaj is my cousin. He's hierarchically. He may be advanced or whatever in whatever way he thinks he is. But technically, he's light years below Sridhar Swami, Bhakti Rakshak, whom he fought a battle with, insulted him, so much so that Sridhar Maharaj stopped eating for 3 days. He was so insulted by Narayan Maharaj. And so people will get fooled by Narayan Maharaj. Sometimes he talks sweetly how he and Prabhupada are one, how Prabhupada is very great, and he'll talk about raga, bhakti, and people will get caught up by that. And one of my god sisters, Shamarani. She goes around telling people that you can only understand a pure devotee, Mahabhagavat, through the lips of another Mahabhagavat. Doesn't make sense. Well, how do I understand that Mahabhagavat who's going to teach me about the other Mahabhagavat? Well, I need another Mahabhagavat to teach me how to understand the Mahabhagavat who's going to teach me how to understand that Mahabhagavat. It's stupid. And he's old. He's got heart problems and he's traveling vigorously trying to... He has an avowed ambition to destroy ISKCON. He said, I will destroy all ISKCON gurus. And he preaches openly against us. And when he dies, he hasn't established any schools or any temples or any book publication or any training institutes or anything. It's just a charismatic old Indian with a venomous heart. So, what are you going to get? What are you left with? Then you got to go searching around Mathura for another pure Mahatma that you can raise to great standards. We'll explain about the last one. So that's stupid. And then there's the nitwits, the Ritviks. They're bogus, because actually that's all they want to do is establish themselves as the gurus, because they say there's got to be a Ritvik guru. Why shall I have a Ritvik guru of any kind? I will just establish myself on my own as a disciple of Prabhupada. But no, I need a Ritvik guru. So he becomes my guru. He has power over me. I can't get initiation from Prabhupada or Rupa Goswami or anybody unless I go through this nitwit. So it's all double talk. They're all cheating. You might as well stick with what Prabhupada established and try to make it better by contributing positive ideas and positive work. Because whatever any of them do, they're going to meet with the same problems. If Narayan ever decides to do anything for his disciples and form some institution or expand, they'll have so many problems, and then we'll just sit on the side and take pot shots, they call it. We'll just be snipers at them. It's easy to criticize, find faults. Very easy. Okay, anyway, you got my ire up. You hit the hot button. Yes?
Is there anything wrong that new devotees are being inspired with some good standing spiritual master from outside of ISKCON and then in the future?
No. Nothing wrong. You get what you pay for. If someone thinks that there's, I mean, one way or another, you should get Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada did not like the idea of his god brothers, whom he knew a little bit better than us. He was a Bengali, he knew about Bengalis, and he knew his god brothers as Bengalis, and he knew how expert they were at politics, how they could seem completely innocent and straightforward, but have all deceptive intentions. So he warned us not that they cannot help us, they can only distract us and break us up. So, but if we think, like I'll give you an example, and he's really actually a good person, and I know many good people within the Gaudiya Math, because I've been in India since 72, and I saw everybody. Madhav Maharaj and Sridhar Maharaj and both Puri Maharajs, Narayan Maharaj, all of them. Brahman Maharaj, Dr. OBL Kapoor. I knew them all. So, Puri Maharaj, Bhakti Vaibhava. He's a nice preacher. He preaches Gaudiya Siddhanta. And he came to see Prabhupada. He was there for the installation of the murti for the Mayapur temple of Vedic Planetarium. And he came on other occasions to see Prabhupada. And he was from Rajamundry. And he had his mutt there, and he came to see Prabhupada from time to time. And I wouldn't say that he was envious. And he's a strong preacher, and he's 87 years old. And he himself has criticized strongly Narayan Maharaj. But apart from that, Girar Swami and I were sitting at his feet at the opening of Baroda Temple. He was the chief guest. And we were sitting in the gardens with him and talking to him, and he was telling us that, "I'm going to the West. I just want to see what Prabhupada did. I have no ambition. I heard it with these two ears." This one was even better in those days. And Girar Swami was right there. He said, "I'm going to the West just to preach. I'm not interested to take disciples." And he went to Italy, and Madhusevita and the other leaders there, they opened up all their congregation to him. And he preached. And people approached him. And he said, "Well, I can't initiate this year, but I'm coming back next year and I'll initiate you." And he did, and he did. I wouldn't have minded if he had said, "I'm going to the West. I'd like to preach and I'd like to make disciples. Can you help me?" And I would have been the first one to say, "Yes, we need nice preachers like him." Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Swami, he was a good friend of Prabhupada's. He got influenced by politics. In 1974, we went to his mutt. He came to see Prabhupada in Mayapur one time. They sat together on a Vyasasan. They spoke. Up in Prabhupada's room, they were talking about the old days, and they were crying to see these two venerable Vaishnavas talking together and crying. It was so mind-blowing. But he got influenced and allowed people to speak in public when a whole group of us were there from Mayapur, that anyone could have gone to the West, not such a big deal, blah, 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 to initiate Malechas and Yavanas. This is not proper. And then he was supposed to come with us back to Mayapur. He didn't come. Prabhupada said he's been influenced by politics. But he was nice. He also started initiating ISKCON people. He said he wouldn't, but he did. In the end, then he changed. He kicked them all out, which was good. He's got some, he has some nice realizations. But this Raga Marga stuff, it's part of our Siddhanta, but there's no one, and I mean hardly, not even, I doubt if there's one who's ready for that level of bhakti. I just see it wherever I go. People can't control their mind or senses. I'm not ready for Raga Marga, and I'm a, 31, 32 year man, and I've been steady as a rock. I'm perfectly satisfied to be a good sadhaka. And I know Prabhupada will give me everything I need when I need it. So better you stick with Srila Prabhupada, and if his followers are not old enough or don't have brown skin and it disturbs you, well, we'll get older. Try and make it better, that's all. Try from within. Ask questions. Be prepared to act. Join action groups. Create a lobby. If you see something wrong, change it. By all means. But let's stick within the family. If someone wants to go to someone else, fine. Good fences make good neighbors. Go to your guru and stay with your guru and preach. Don't go get initiated somewhere else and try to come back to our family to eat. We're Prabhupada Nugas, we're brothers and aunts and uncles and cousins, and we stick together. The brotherhood, huh? The godfather. What family did they come kind of from? The Cosa Nostra. Anyway. Yeah.
A very direct question. Seems that everybody's afraid to ask this. What do we do?
Except for you, huh? I'm glad you got courage. Go ahead.
What do we do with these people that come?
Smile. They should not lead kirtan. They should not even play instruments. They should stand at the back and they should pay for prasadam. They're welcome. You go to any Gaudiya Mutt, supposing you're coming from ISKCON, they'll have someone, either they'll say you can come or you can't come. And if you can come, they'll have someone greet you at the door, take you on a tour, and then escort you out. They'll allow you to go into the Brahmacharya Ashram and start spreading some ISKCON poison. Why should we? All we're saying is that we want to be good neighbors. We want to get along well with you, and here's our fence. You stay on your side of the fence. Sometimes we'll meet in the middle. We'll stay on our side of the fence. You teach what you like, we'll teach what we like. We won't fight. These people, they're not doing anything. They don't have anything to do. Their so-called guru, all he did was give them, I don't think any of them have got second initiation, which actually means initiation. They've got Harinam, which is just, for them, it's a preliminary. Prabhupada started this idea of first initiation having some importance. When Prabhupada got initiated, he got Harinam and sacred thread at the same time. That's the way they do it in the Gaudiya Mutt. So these gurus are going around and cheating people. Okay, I'll give you initiation. You're eating meat and having illicit sex? Well, try not to do it. Here's your beads. You know? Because it's, for as far as he's concerned, he doesn't accept karma, and he's just catching you. If you give any donations, you'll give it to him. Or if you get angry and want to fight with someone, you'll fight with the ISKCON people. If they come here, you know, just, they should not assume, I don't care what they were in the past, it's what they are now. They've declared themselves as non-members of ISKCON. We didn't kick them out, they left. They can't follow, so they're not members of ISKCON. Disciple means discipline. We have to have some discipline. The word disciple means discipline. And we have to have some discipline. If you want to, you don't let anybody just walk into your house and start talking to your wife or your children. You don't want them to pollute the family atmosphere. And whatever we are, whatever we have, we can grow and build on that. But if every 3 weeks somebody comes in and breaks it down by casting doubt and aspersions, casting, criticizing, just like Krishna became angry with Putana. These Putana-like people, you're so angry with them. Let them go out and do something. 6.5 billion people who need to be saved. Why do they come here? They rejected this institution. This institution is filled with cheaters and abusers and bogus gurus. So why do they come back here again and again? Start something better. Do a better job. But please save me the trouble of being saved by you. You're not going to have any... it's really nice here. There's a nice atmosphere here now. So many men. Ladies, generally, they can come. But men, it's hard to get men to Mangalarti. There's so many men here at Mangalarti now. So good. And this is a Thursday morning. It's not even a holiday. So many people have Bhagavatam class. They go back a year or so, and you hardly find 5 people. It's good. Let's keep it good. Don't let anyone create a different momentum. We're building now. This used to be the best temple. Practically the best temple in Harikesha's zone. Best management, best book distribution. There were things that should have been changed. That's all right, but the people basically are good. They like Krishna consciousness, they have some commitment. They're not hypocrites so much. Everybody in the world is a hypocrite to some degree. But here in this temple we get good people. So don't let anybody just spoil it. Big mistake. Make rules and regulations, post them up. Anybody doesn't follow the rules, then there should be 2 or 3 big men like you who can escort them out, pick them up and show them the park where they can preach. Otherwise, now you're starting to build again, and people are finding it a pleasure to come here and preach. Tomorrow, Purna Chandra is going to come. He's such a nice preacher. Tattavit Prabhu is spending so much time here with you. He's going to start some good seminars. And so many more will come. And you'll all be in ecstasy, and you'll all make advancement. A new era for Ljubljana. Don't let these, what do they call themselves? The Sanghi Pullis or the Pullis or something, the police. Sadhu Pali. Sadhu something. Yeah. Don't let them, spoil things. They have no credibility, no integrity, no dignity. Yes.
And they come to Sunday feast. They usually can preach to everyone.
If they start preaching, show them the door, tell someone. That's my advice. They're so weak-hearted, so I'd like to start using some inappropriate language, but I won't. So chickenish that they, why don't they go out and preach? We'll give them two plates of Sunday feast prasadam if they pay for it, and they can go out in the park and find someone and give it to them and sit down and preach. I don't care. They failed the exam. Do you think when you go for a test in school, the guys who failed the exam last year are allowed to come into the examination room and tell all the people who are taking the exam, this is, the exam's useless, it's no good. You failed the exam. Go away and study somewhere. Maybe we'll give you another chance to write the exam. You failed. There's lots of people who didn't fail. And they want to get on with their lives. Utpatyaiva kalpate. They're simply a disturbance to everyone. Don't tolerate it. Be nice, but be firm. They're sick. They've got a disease. They have succumbed or fallen victim of various types of demons. Demon of envy, the demon of greed, the demon of lust, the demon of madness. They should be quarantined. You can't. You have to be, on the one hand, you have to hate the sin and not the sinner. We don't hate them. Just like I went to see Hari Kesha when I was in Sweden. And he's an old friend. So I went to see him and we had an old friendly time. We didn't even talk a little bit about philosophy. Because it would have been useless. Is that recorded? Anyway, he's my friend. He'll always be my friend. But he's no longer a spiritual inspiration for me because he's bankrupt. Ananda Swarup. We were great sannyas buddies. We used to do so many things together, preaching programs. We even went to an Ayurvedic clinic in South India once and spent a couple of weeks taking some cleansing treatment together. We go do lots of things together. But now, he fell down, he fell away, he's trying to come back. He's my friend. I see him. I'm strong enough to give him my association without him influencing me. I can do that, but I don't suggest everyone do that. But the point is that we have to discriminate between a person as a lost soul and the external poison on the lips. Vishakanya, watch out. Please, please, please don't go backwards. You're doing so well now. You can do better. but at least in terms of participation. And that's the beginning, sadhu sangha. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.